Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, what up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. First day ever, live simulcast on Monumental Sports Network. We're still on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. And last night was a damn disaster.
That it was.
Good morning, Brian.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I don't know. Honestly, there's so many thoughts, and you don't want to get too removed from the actual football, which is a mess.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold was perfect in the first half. He went for 290 and four touchdowns in the first half.
What that shows is we all got to change our mind from what Sam Darnold was prior to last year.
Totally.
And start realizing that something has happened. He's getting coached up. He figured it out.
It also might help playing this defense.
Yeah, but he's been doing it against a lot of people. But, so what I'm saying is, I want what Sam got for a lot of positions on our team.
Sure.
I want him coached up and start playing well.
The defense last night was just abysmal. It was 28-0 on throwback night, Art Monk night, and you see... I took a video of it because I was so blown away. They made it 28-0 with about 4 minutes left in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see people leaving, just streaming out.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just thousands of people at once going to get beer.
No, I think
people were just leaving.
People were leaving. They were disappointed. I mean, and I think when you look at a night like that, you hope you have a better performance. It wasn't there. I know we have a lot of thoughts about last night. A lot of it is revisionist because, you know, you and I talked a little bit earlier before the show started. But there are going to be questions about things. And there has to be. Listen, man, I don't think this is saying something that's negative, bad, accusatory, attacking. There has to be some changes. Okay? Let's be real. When you're at this point in week 9 and you still don't seem to have communication in the secondary, you still don't seem to be able to figure out things offensively, you're going to have to get some changes, whether players, mindset, whatever, because what we see now is not what we saw last year. And I don't know where the change happened at.
Obviously, listen, there is so much bad to go over from last night. There are significant injuries. Yeah. There's a lot to discuss, right? But the by far headline of last night becomes Jaden Daniels dislocating his elbow late in that game. The injury was gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
I left hand up, will never be one of those people that posts gruesome injury videos. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the need for people to do that. But if you enjoy that, that's cool. Do you?
I see it one time, and that's all I need to see.
Bro, saw it the one time. Live, you weren't sure what happened. Then you're like, all right. Then you see it, and everybody, your reaction when you see that is, because it looks like a dangling chicken wing. You know what I'm saying?
It's one of those unfortunate freak accidents, and the only other person I know to dislocate their elbow, Leslie Shepard, in the game against Dallas, he got hit late by a guy. and he went down and he broke, I think he broke his wrist and dislocated his elbow. So if we want to talk to somebody who's been through it and what it's going to take to come back from it,
maybe we
could, that'd be a great dude
to
talk to. I just think that, you know, I totally think differently than most people. Once I see stuff, I normally assess it, and then I'm ready to move past it. I know the world doesn't work like that, but that's still the way I am. I can't let myself fall into how the world is, where we are, you know, I've heard some things that I'm baffled that I even hear.
The biggest, I think, I honestly don't think this is much of a debate. So I'm in the press box last night, sitting next to David Aldridge on one side, Chick Hernandez on the other, Tischler's behind me, everybody's there, right? Mm-hmm. Keim, Grant, Rooster. And there was a photo late in the, I want to say it was late third, early fourth, of Jaden standing down on the opposite side of the rest of the team, basically, looking pretty despondent. And he has a towel over his head. And then I retweeted the photo from Ethan Cadeau. And then at some point, Debo comes down. I don't know if it was to console him as much as just to be like, man, what the bleep is going on here? Like, just two guys that are super dog competitors, just despondent from what's going on. And at that moment, at that point, they're down, I think, 31-7, maybe 38-7. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, okay, is Jaden's night done? Maybe they know he's come back from enough, maybe his night is over. And then there's a TV timeout, and then I see Jaden put his helmet on and go start warming up with Mariota. I'm like, all right, he's going back in. And at the time, I'm like, I don't know that I understand. Mm-hmm. I want to be crystal clear, because there's a number of things to discuss in why Jaden was still out there. And the top of this list, and you could speak to it better than me, football players play. Yeah. You are a football player. There's a game going on. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just Jaden. Sam Cosmi's coming back from a massive knee injury. Are you going to pull him because they're getting their ass kicked?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Debo had to miss a game a week ago because of the heel injury. Are you pulling him? Like, football players play. So I recognize that. The flip side of that, however, is this is your franchise quarterback that has now missed games with a knee injury and missed games with a hamstring injury. He's just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
This game is out of reach.
Yeah.
Period. And so there's real questions why Jaden goes out on the field. And I think if it's because you're chasing a win, what I don't understand is if you're chasing a win, they punted from the 50 on the previous series.
Mm-hmm.
You punted from the 50.
Yeah.
Now, I get it was 4-14, but you're down a boatload. If you're really chasing a win, what are you doing punting from the 50?
Yeah.
And then to bring Jaden back out in real time in the press box, we're all like, man, this is crazy. If you look at social media in real time, not reactionary after the injury, but in real time then, it's like, why is he out there? And not because he's a football player, I understand that. But you're talking about a guy that's already had two injuries.
Yeah.
And he's the franchise cornerstone. And you're down 30 in the fourth quarter.
I think that's the main thing where what you're saying is the franchise cornerstone. And I've always used the thing that John said about calming the fool, then resurrecting the corpse. You know, if Jay is out there, he's gonna go for it.
Totally.
He's not going to shy away from stuff. He's going to try and go for it. And let's be real, that how it happened last night, that was freak. But the ultimate thing is, I've seen situations just like that where people just finish the game, nothing happens, and boom, you're good. But I think this is one where, with the history of this franchise, the history with quarterbacks, and the possibilities that you can have with him, you want to deal with it a little differently. And I think that's the question that everybody's saying, why? Okay, because we all know if you play, do you want to play? He's going to say yes.
Right.
So I think sometimes you got to just, like, what they do when the pitcher's on the mound and that pitcher thinks he can keep going, and they walk out there and just, like, hand me the ball. You know what I mean? You need to have the person to be able to just do that. And the ultimate thing is, listen, we're going to – if he hadn't have gone back in, it wouldn't happen. You can say that. But then again, people will go in games at that point later on in history, and nothing to happen. But you better hope it's not the franchise.
In that situation, I have zero beef with Jaden. Jaden's on the field. He's going to try to make a play. Mm-hmm. That's who he is. That's what he does. The organization has to be smarter there. If you're going to punt to open the fourth quarter down 38-7, why the hell are you putting him back out there? It's very, very hard for that to make sense to me. And then if you zoom out a little bit and you think about how Josh Harris has built his organizations, the teams he owns mm-hmm. in multiple sports, you think about what the Sixers did. Trust the process. Protect your guys. Plan for the long term. I'm not the biggest hockey guy, but it's my understanding that's how the Devils have been built.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Harris, on throwback night, national television, he had to come down to the sideline for the Art Monk ceremony because he was speaking. He's standing on the sideline at 28-0. His blood had to be boiling. For him to see Jaden out there late in that game, and you know what? Maybe Jaden doesn't run to his right. He runs to his left, and he slides. There's a million butterfly effects of how the injury went down. But to watch that happen and to very, very publicly, I didn't watch the broadcast. I almost wonder if Tirico and Collinsworth were wondering why he was still out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The owner watching that unfold has to just be like, what in the hell is my kid doing out there?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, the news is out this morning. Rap Sheet says it's a dislocated arm. It's not as bad as it could have been, but we'll miss several games.
Yeah, but see right there, just like when we heard about Scatterbill, we heard he had a dislocated ankle, didn't know, but when you get in there, it's all kind of damage that was there. It could be more. You know, seeing just a dislocation without a break, it wasn't as bad as they think it could be. Maybe if the ligaments, I'm sure they did the MRI, I can see that, did they stay intact? But then again, when you go in there, you don't know what's what. So I still think we have to wait till they get the final say on it.
Totally. We don't know, but I find it damn near impossible he's not going on the IR.
Mm-hmm.
And if the IR is open-ended, right? So that could be four games. It could be the rest of the year. I don't see why you put him back out there. If we get to, say it's five games. So that's Detroit, Miami, bye, Denver, Minnesota, and he could come back for the Giants in New York. What does the record look like? What do things look like mm-hmm. by then?
Well, I think a lot of decisions will be made as things go on and based off of the record. You know, right now, it's a lot of vitriol out there. But I think ultimately,
I think understandable vitriol.
It's understandable, but still, you can't. I think the people inside the building can't allow the vitriol outside the building to make them look at things any differently. They need to look at this thing based on how they will look at it anyway. And when you start looking at Jaden and the position that the team is in, how things seem to be going, I think you focus on making a decision based off of that. There's no need to force them back or whatever. But the whole thing is you can see things like this, but your whole thing is about what can you do? How are you going to figure this thing out for years to come? And you don't want to try to do it all this year when it doesn't seem like this year is anywhere close. It's going anywhere close to what it was last year.
Oh, dude. They've already lost more games through 10 weeks than mm-hmm. they did all of last season.
Yeah.
I think, understandably, that type of loss last night, especially at 28-0 and Sam Darnold having a perfect first half, 16-16 for 292 and four touchdowns. And I'm not knocking Darnold. I'm knocking Washington's defense and Washington's defensive mm-hmm. game plan. And I'm cognizant of the injuries. And you watch that game, and it was so crystal clear. He was never pressured.
Eight.
There was no pressure. See, and when you have a guy like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you're able to carve teams up. But it was other dudes. The dude that scored the third touchdown had never scored in the NFL. The guy that scored the first two, my man Horton Hears a Who, he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. He was stepping in because Cooper Kupp was hurt. I think the fourth touchdown. I believe Cody White that had the 60-yarder where it was another missed tackle in the secondary.
More than one.
Last night is the type of game where it seems like something has to happen. You need a result. And we're deep enough into the season where it's reasonable. Mm-hmm. You start calling for somebody fired week three, week five, I'm not so sure, right? You're going into week 10. We're in November. They're playing Christmas songs at the mall. It is reasonable in the NFL, in pro sports, for something to happen when you're past the halfway point. Joe Witt looks like whether it's deserved or not, he looks like the sacrificial lamb in this case. Mm-hmm. But we always talk about, B, this is a self-preservation league. And if DQ calls Joe Witt's number, his number's at the top of the list. Because it's like, oh, who's going to call the defense? How about the guy that's been a D coordinator? Mm-hmm. That's the head coach.
Yeah. But the thing of it, I think people act as if he's not involved with the defense at all. I don't buy that one bit. I really think, you know, it's a problem with what's going on because too much communication late before the ball is snapped. That's a problem. And then on top of it, I think we got to look at the talent level too. It's been some issues.
Totally.
Because, like, I watched Sam Darnold last night, and he looked like he was in 7-on-7. He goes 1-2-3, balls out. 1-2-3-4-5, balls out. They were playing pitch and catch. And when you don't disrupt any type of timing at all, that's the type of result you get defensively. You watch him, he drops, he throws to a spot, and they were hitting that spot every time. Some kind of way you got to change that.
But to your
you got to affect it. And it hasn't been done.
I don't know if we have the numbers about pressures last night, if they sent anybody. Sure as hell didn't look like it.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, we're just watching the same movie over and over again. Have you seen the stats from the second half, the second half of Monday night to the first half last night?
I saw that.
I mean, Mitch put them together. 600 yards of offense.
Yeah.
They gave up 600 yards of
offense.
That's
a lot.
And 7 touchdowns over the course of one game.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can watch that. And I like Dan Quinn. I understand the sincerity with which he operates. There was a moment in the locker room in Kansas City, and this it was a real telling moment of why his players love him. Because that Kansas City game went about as bad as it could, and as guys were wrapping up, DQ went over to Zach Ertz to congratulate him on catching his 800th pass as a tight end. Mm-hmm. And it was a real moment. And afterwards, Ertz said, he's like, well, you guys kind of got to see why this guy means so much to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all terrific. That's all well and good. But, like, these results are awful. And these results belie a need to change something. And I got to be frank, if I hear again the solutions are here from within, I don't believe you. Because if they are, show them.
Yeah, but the thing of it, Jay, you have to believe because they are from within. And also, you got to get every...
I recognize they don't have any other
every
option.
Every one of them players to change too. See, I look at coaches and I look at players. I don't just look at the coach and I don't just look at the players. There are a lot of players that are going on that football field consistently, just not doing anything different and looking around as if somebody's going to come change it. I've said it over and over again, and I'll keep saying it. You are a professional athlete, okay? And when you're a professional athlete, you are at the top of your game, and your coaches probably have not played your position or even coached your position as long as you probably did it. So you got to get to that point where when you know something isn't going to work, do something else. And I keep seeing people do the same things every week. And I'm like, okay, I understand what's happening. But eventually, everybody has to understand that this ish is on me. You know, you keep doing something that you know doesn't work and you keep doing making mistakes. You know what? That's not going to be a good excuse when anybody come calling and say, I'll move on. The next person start looking at you. You have to find a way to get the things going. And right now, I don't think anybody does that.
Furthermore, and we've kind of touched on this and thought about it. You talked about the talent level, and the injuries have been a major factor, and specifically the cluster of injuries at the defensive end position. But this offseason seemed weird. It seemed disjointed. Is it a rebuild? Are you adding veterans? Are you trading away picks for vets? You didn't really spend any money, specifically at positions you didn't spend any money. Like, a lot of it just didn't add up, mm-hmm. and it seems like that's coming home now.
Yeah.
Like, everything that was so magical last year has just been the opposite. Like,
totally.
It went from Harry Potter to Voldemort, and it's... Here's our plan. Phone lines open at 11:30. Santana's going to join us at 11. I feel bad for Tana to have to join us today. I think when we booked him, the plan was for this to be a much more fun show. If you're listening to us, terrific. If you're on the YouTube 106.7 The Fan page, terrific. We're also live on Monumental. I don't know which camera's on. Oh, I think it's that one with the red V. I'll wave to it. What a freaking disaster. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's B. Mitch and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn to Rood. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? You can adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the absolute best, and they've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
B, you know the struggles I've been having living out of hotels, various different places, dealing with this water damage at my house. I can't wait to get home to my Rood system and the temperature being exactly what I want. They're whisper quiet, and the best part is you get comfort and performance perfectly balanced. Plus, you could save a bunch of cash. If you get a new Rood system, you could qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Visit Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood,
it ain't right. Finley 106.7 The Fam. You can watch us on Monumental Sports Network. You can stream with us on YouTube. The YouTube chat is popping.
Is it?
Jeff and White Brian, send me some highlights from the YouTube chat. I'm sure they're plentiful.
I will pull it up.
I'd like to get David Aldridge on the program tomorrow, fellas. DA, I've often mentioned how sitting in press boxes with DA is a real like joy of my career. I mean, that dude has accomplished so much, but is still such a locked in great reporter. And he asked a question last night in the post game of Dan Quinn. I was kind of running around. I didn't get to ask a question because I had to be live. Because the game was on NBC, like I was live for most of the hour after the game, but I did carve out some time to go hear from DQ. And DA said, like, hey, coach, I mean this with all due respect. You guys have to do more to support Jaden. And I think you can't plan on the injuries, and the Terry injury has really submarined things in a lot of ways. But, I was listening to Doc and Toby driving home last night, and they had some callers. You think about what time of night it is for you to be calling into the radio. Yeah. You've probably been sipping a little bit.
You twist it. Say it like that.
But one dude was like, where's the hammer? They need an identity. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I know he's not a stud, but maybe Brian Robinson would help this team. Who knows, right? There's so many questions from a personnel decision-making standpoint. But in no way, and I think if anybody blames Jaden for running around in that moment. I just think you're an idiot. He's going to play his game regardless what the score is. It's up to coaches to protect him, to not be on the field. And DA, understandably, could not comprehend why Jaden Daniels is on the field late in that game down 31 points. And I think it's a really fair question, man. And I think it's, in a lot of ways, I don't want to say unfortunately, because the discussion points from that game would have been terrible anyway, because the offense could do nothing. They have nothing. You were on some great teams, some good teams, some bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
When an offense has nothing they can lean on. Have you noticed that? Last year,
like we said, that was, we don't know what the identity is.
Last year, if you had a short yardage situation, I knew what they were going to do. They had that little QB draw where the center and the opposite guard pulled to the right. And if you needed two, Jaden get you four. If you needed four, Jaden get you six. Like, they could lean on that play,
mm-hmm,
out of shotgun, and it worked. And then what Jaden was able to do with Terry and what Jaden was able to do with Ertz on third down, red zone stuff, like, that, you had stuff you knew they could run because you knew it could work.
Yep.
This year, what the hell do they have offensively that you know?
It doesn't seem like anything. Because I think, what is it, Dan said it maybe 2 weeks ago about them not knowing their identity. And I think at this point, that should be established. And I don't know what it is, man. It's like everyone, and this is nothing against Bill, but wasn't everybody calling for just Bill? And I kept saying, run all of them. And whoever gets a hot hand, stick with them. We've seen McNichols have games. We've seen Rodriguez have games. I think I need to see people like last year, it was more or less, they went out, they did what they knew they could do. They didn't care about what nothing was outside. This year, for some reason, it seems like people are listening to what people want from the outside. I'm being honest. Like, we'll go from one guy playing to the next week, he don't see it. You got to just go play football and do what you need to do and not worry about what people are saying and thinking.
There's nothing. All right, so I asked for the YouTube comments. White Brian got me some. Jason Proctor says, Adam Peters on the hot seat for this dog water roster. Robert Wagner says, can the National Guard play defense for this team? They're in town. Maybe they're available. I saw this hater last night from Seattle holding up a sign. What Washington does, shutdowns and losses. And I was like, man, I hate that guy. But you know what? Sadly, he was proven correct by the end of the game.
He lives in Seattle, Washington, though. You got to realize they got more drugs going on there than they do here. So what the hell he's talking about?
What? The decision to not pull Jaden late in a blowout is going to be the absolute headliner, right? And it should be, because he's by far the most important player on the team. I don't think he should have been out there, period. I don't know if you land there with me or you think it's more hindsight.
I think it's a lot of hindsight. We've seen too many games finish just like that and nobody get hurt. But I understand the mindset. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can understand why people say it, but after playing it so many years, hell, I was in situations like that and playing quarterback in college. I was in league games like that. I watched other quarterbacks in the same position and they didn't get hurt. You know, it's just, like I said, you watch how he was thrown and he just went to brace himself and boom. That was freak. And ain't nothing nobody can really do about it. But I guess you could say this, for those people that want to say it, if he was not in there 100%, he wouldn't have been hurt. But just because he's there don't automatically mean it's going to happen either.
Beyond the Jaden situation, which is hard to bridge that chasm, right? Because the Jaden situation is massive. What was worse, the offense or the defense? It's got to be the defense, but the offense was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we say the defense because the points just pile up, but we knew last year the success we had on this team was the offense would go out there, have these long, sustained drives, and get touchdowns at the end. Defense came out fresher. This year, you don't get that. A touchdown scored, defense goes to the sideline. Special teams give it back to them, or the offense have a quick drive and they're right back on the field.
Even last night, they tried to switch it up. They took the ball, right?
Yeah.
They've been deferring every time they win the toss. Last night, they said, no, we want the ball. We're going to try to change things up.
Mm-hmm.
They get a first down on the first drive. Then there's that Biotis penalty on first down of the next series. And you can argue if that was a bad penalty or not. I thought, if anything, it was a clip, not a blindside block. They looked shoulder to shoulder to me, but
I don't know what football is halftime.
It's so far from relevant at this point.
I watch people get hit in the chest and just, like, not very hard. They throw a flag. I watch other guys get decapitated and they don't call flags. I don't know what football is.
But they run six plays, then have to punt. Of those six plays, zero were carries to running backs. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jaden ran a couple times. Those were scrambles. Those were not designed quarterback runs. He was under pressure all night.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the numbers will bear that out. He was under pressure on more than half of his dropbacks.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting killed all night. I think it's kind of obvious that Jaden doesn't have a ton of trust in his pass-catching weapons at times, but he's also just running for his freaking life.
Mm-hmm. When you take off and you run, you're not necessarily going to be looking down the field all the time, especially if it happens all the time. You will do that early on in games, but as it goes on, if you notice that there's no blocking, no separation, I got to just get yours if I can. And his legs and C-Rod legs seem to be helping some. You got to figure it out, man. I just don't want this thing to get to a situation like I used to look at Michael Vick, in a sense, where he was so talented that it was like, if everything breaks down, make something happen. I don't want that to ever become what it is with him.
And you wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just such a disaster. I wonder how Kingsbury feels. I mean, remember when it was a foregone conclusion Cliff would get a job this cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Is that still a foregone conclusion?
Don't know.
And I'm not saying it isn't, but I mean, offensively, it's not good. And it wasn't good with Jaden. The stats are kind of skewed, but I mean, I don't know defensively that there's anything you can do. We talk about Washington's offense has nothing that looks easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing they can rely on.
Yeah.
Seattle at one point had a 1st-and-25, 2nd-and-12, turned into 2nd-and-17 and still converted.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, in short yardage situations, was lining up in empty with 5 wide because they couldn't have been less concerned about pressure.
Yeah.
And they knew, singled up, they might have the best receiver in football. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the real deal.
He's good. Yeah.
But it wasn't just Njigba that was killing people.
Oh, it was everybody.
Torrey Horton last night, 4 for 48 with 2 touchdowns. But they knew 3rd-and-6, we'll run Njigba on a slant. It'll get us 12. Like, they had something they could rely on.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
And Washington doesn't have that. And that is an indictment on the front office, on the offense, on the players. Like, that is a soup-to-nuts problem.
Totally.
I don't know what these answers are. It's just remarkable how fast this thing has turned.
It was quick.
I was watching.
And look, the thing for me, Jay, you know, I've always discussed, when you see a team go through a year, not many injuries, they're coming. I didn't expect them to come in like this.
No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the injuries are significant. Nicky Jobvala just tweeted out a post of the games missed, the injury games missed, and it's already surpassing all of last year, I believe, mm-hmm. and it certainly will by the time you get to the end of the year and you add up Wise and Eckler and, like, these guys are going to miss significant time. Whew, buddy. Santana Moss joins us at 11. Phone lines open at 11:30. Phone lines are not going to be in a happy place.
Oh, we know that.
If you're not in a happy place in your home, maybe you're looking for a new place, you got to call our friend John Leahy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. John Leahy does sell the DMV, and he does it better than anybody.
Just like a recent seller, they reached out to John because they wanted to get their house sold, and they got an offer that was $20,000 over the asking price. There was no stress and no setbacks. They had recently been told by another agent that they wouldn't be able to make any money. But that all ended up being an absolute lie and a farce, because when John went in, John got them exactly what they wanted and more. We're talking about our good friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. You can go to johnsellsdmv.com and find out what your home's value is in mere seconds. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. And if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Keep this in mind. John has a deep bench of buyers in waiting, more than 10,000 buyers ready to rock. He could have your home sold before you even realize it. And if you need a little bit of cash to fix things up before you list it, talk to John. He could front you up to $50,000 to make repairs and upgrades, making your home irresistible to buyers and getting you more cash. And you just settle up with John on the back end at closing. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. All right, we're going to start with a little bit of good news. Caller number 10, right now, you get to win a pair of tickets to University of Maryland basketball Friday, November 7th against Georgetown at the Xfinity Center. Terps Hoyas, man, that's always a good one. 800-636-1067. Pair of tickets for Terps Hoyas. That game's going to have some juice, man. Also, I don't know if I just had a Ron Burgundy moment, but I just read what was on the sheet. So if it's the wrong station, it's the wrong station. I did. Listen, we got Tana joining us next. Then we're going to get into the phones and blame pie, and I imagine that's going to get pretty ugly pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm going to sit back and get the popcorn ready. You got that, what's called in there? What's the popcorn, the low-calorie one?
Skinny Pop?
Yeah, I'm going to go give me some Skinny Pop because I know this is going to be entertaining.
It's going to be ugly. Things are going to get lost in the sauce. We got people in the chat asking to fry up Major Tutty. Somebody in the chat paid $2 to say Jeff should get fired. They want everybody fired, including Jeff. But I did want to ask you about Luke McCaffrey's injury.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally breaks his collarbone on the first play of the game, first kickoff return. When I saw him get up and come to the sideline, it looked like a collarbone to me in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he should have gone down there? Because my guess is he got rocked and then thrown back.
Man, I can't. I'm never going to say a person should just go down. I mean, you're a football player. You're fighting. And as I told the young man, I told you I was talking to this little 9-year-old kid last night who had every narrative that's been spoken. He knew every one of them. When you're out there on the football field, you're not thinking about injury. You're thinking about trying to make yards and make plays. And it's a 100% injury sport. If you play it long enough, you will be injured. Well, get hurt. Let's say it like that. Not injured, per se. But you will get hurt. So I don't know if he would have should have gone down or not. Because, hell, if I sit up here and say he should have went down, and people say, well, you never went down. You kept fighting.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the whole thing about it. You have to figure out things. I've said this where I don't think a lot of guys know how to take tackles anymore. I don't know. I don't think a lot of guys know how to make tackles. I don't think a lot of guys know how to take tackles. You know, I watch boxing, and when my dad would always say you got to know how to roll with the punch. And I'm like, if they punching you, they punching you. But if you get hit and your face is still here, it hurts more than it do if you kind of slide with it.
Right.
So when you're getting tackled sometimes, if you just, at a certain point, you know, you got to get to the point where you know, I can't go no more. And what I learned to do, I'm running, all of a sudden, I got people, I let the legs go. And I fall on top of them. Or when I saw that I couldn't really do something, you roll with it, just go with it. But they don't do that anymore in practice or whatever. So when do you really learn it? You know? It's like if you do something consistently, all of a sudden you know when to do it and you can just do it in a heated moment. If you never do it, hell, you get caught. And I think a lot of them are getting caught because of that.
Another thing I think might get lost in a misery Monday is how cool the scene was pregame. How great the uniforms looked. Just something simple. And a lot of these long-term changes that I think the new ownership group is going to make, like I think eventually the unis they wore last night are just going to be their home uniform. Mm-hmm. But there is NFL protocols. Like there are things you have to do with the league, right? And I don't know how strict the stipulations are on this, but just that helmet with the gold face mask looks so much better than with the burgundy one.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to ask you what it felt like as somebody that played at a really high level for that team just to see those uniforms again.
You know, when I first saw them, it felt good, and it was that. You know, I saw them, and I'm out. I'm past it because I don't get overly concerned about it. I caught up in it. I immediately went to, let's see how they're going to play. You know what I mean? And that's where I'm always at. You know, I don't care what uniform I'm in or what uniform they put on. I want to see the play. And, you know, I didn't get the play that I wanted to see. The uniforms were great, but that was it. I went right past it after that because when you see it, you saw what that era was about. You saw, I was able to reminisce about some things, but once the game start, let's make plays. That's all it was once the game started.
The other thing I want to make sure we build time in for is Art Monk.
Yeah.
The ceremony at halftime was, Art's a brief fella.
And I knew that was going to, I knew Art was going to
get. Did you go down on the field?
A few, nah.
Okay.
I was all over the place yesterday, man.
Yeah.
I knew, I went to the thing the night before.
How was the thing Saturday night?
It was cool. They had the documentary of he and Tim Johnson, where they go into these prisons, Rikers Island, and talk to these kids. And you would be amazed how just showing a little love to somebody who is misunderstood could be. And Tim had been doing it. He brought Art along, and then they had the talk. But I had to go to another thing after that, so I missed the old talk that he had with Alexis O'Hanlon and also Ryan Clark.
Really happy for Art Monk. Honestly, it's something should have happened forever ago. I've said this 100 times, and I will continue to beat this drum. I think the new ownership group is doing a great job of righting a lot of previous wrongs.
Yeah.
Going out for the coin toss last night, you had the posse. You had Gary Clark, Art Monk, and Ricky Sanders. Ricky Sanders absolutely needs to be in the Ring of Fame. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's not there is a travesty, and I think that should be the first order of business for next year. They did a great job this year. Tana went into the Ring of Fame. Art Monk got his jersey retired, both well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, top order of business needs to be Ricky going into the Ring of Fame. period. I don't know how that oversight. The president of the United States called for him in the Rose Garden. Let's get his name and number up there.
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for oversight begin earlier.
Right.
So we know why. It was a lot of oversight.
Right. So let's get that done next year. I loved Art Monk as a kid. I drove to Canton, Ohio for his Hall of Fame induction. It's funny to see the differences between Daryl last year and Art this year. Just Daryl's such a gregarious, outgoing, you know, fun-loving guy, and Art's just way more reserved, and I think you saw that in the celebrations. But hopefully for Art last night and his family, hopefully he got what he wanted out of it. I just hate that the game on the field was such an embarrassment for that night.
I can relate to that a little bit.
Was yours the same?
The Ring of Fame was against the Eagles.
Oh, dog.
You remember that?
I did not.
Yes. But, you know, but I think he got a little choked up. That's why he made that speech even shorter.
Yeah.
And that's him. But, you know, when you're around a person a long time, you realize that's exactly who he is. But the thing that will piss you off about it is people try to use that against him.
Right.
You know? And that's why it took him so long to get into the Hall of Fame, because people acted, well, he wouldn't talk. Well, he was just a person that didn't talk. He performed. He said he got to a point where his whole thing was just to go out there and work on his craft and be the best, as good as he can be. And he wasn't trying to brag about nothing, say nothing. And that, what he did to get to where he was, people tried to use it against him, which is BS.
Congrats to Art Monk. Well-deserved, well-earned. I just hate that it happened on such a miserable game. It is obviously a Misery Monday here on 106.7 The Fan. Misery Monday presented by Chiniga Mayos, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with mayos.com. Santana Moss when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.